look out and see your smiling faces. And I know a couple of you were out last week. Good to have you back. And I failed to mention it, but Debbie's back with us. She went to, was it Ireland that you went to? Scotland, okay. And big old long trip, and then got back here and got sick and had to stay up in Tennessee until she got better. So we were glad to get her back last week. And then Linda's back with us. Linda's had some eye issues for some time and finding it complicated to get around. So I'm glad that she was able to get here as well. Always glad to see you. Beverly's in the nursery, if you're wondering where she is. But I just appreciate you being here and being in your spot. It's a great encouragement to me. Would you take your Bible and go over once again to John 12? John 12. I almost decided not to do these last 13 verses because so many of them were already discussed. The nature of the verses were already discussed all throughout the first 12 chapters of John. The matter of belief is so vital. The matter of belief is vital for the person who is about to be saved. The matter of belief is vital for the child of God as he lives from day to day. A daily trust, if you will, a daily faith. Both of those come from the Word of God. The Word that we know, the reason I'm going to tell you this is because there's two Greek words for the Word, and I don't know Greek, but this has been a blessing to me dwelling on it this week. The first one is logos, which means the Word. It's ascribed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's also ascribed to His Word, the Bible. The Word, logos, okay, remember that. There's another word for Word. The Bible uses two words for the word Word. Word just doesn't sound right, but it's actually right. There's two Greek words for the Bible's use of the word Word, okay? I'm not saying that double, but I am saying that double. One of them's logos, and one of them's rhema. What's the difference? Well, rhema is an utterance. It's a movement in your heart. It is a personal application. It's a special meaning to you. You never get, it would not be possible to get a rhema without getting into logos, into the Word of God. I'm gonna tell you this. I've told you this many, 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 many times. But now I'm gonna give you the reason I think this is true. For so many years, I've been blessed to have this time in Grace Walk, and so for some reason, Sunday mornings at 5 o'clock are special to me. The things that I've been looking and reading, studying and reviewing and taking notes on. For whatever reason, so many Sunday mornings I get up, Linda, and reviewing what's already been taking place, and God touches my heart, and He speaks to me. And I don't know why, you know, it's just a wonderful thing to get up and God speak to you and give you a special message. Sometimes He comforts my heart. Sometimes He brings me to tears. And sometimes I'm encouraged, and sometimes I'm discouraged because of something in my life. But the meaning is God's Word brings the great meaning to me. It brings rhema. His utterances, His special meanings, His personal meaning to me. So you can read the Bible, and like anybody can read the Bible, but when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit brings us understanding, and that's rhema. That's His Word. That's the special meaning. Now consider this right here. I would never get rhema, if you will, that special, important meaning to me. I would never get that if I weren't already in logos. And sure enough, those weeks when I'm too busy to give God's Word the attention that it should have in my life, Monday through Saturday, or even if I just do the obligatory, you know what I'm saying? Well, I got to read my chapter. I got to read, you know, there's a checkoff, Linda. Read the Bible checkoff there. My chapter, my three chapters. If I just do that for the sake of doing it, Monday through Saturday. Guess what, Brother Stacy? I don't get no rhema on Sunday. Isn't that odd? But when you get into Logos, when you get into God's Word, and you put your time in and you pray to the Lord that He give you meaning and understanding, He will. And it'll come in the form of rhema. Now, why are we going here? Well, I'll tell you why we're going here. Look up in verse number 35. Jesus is pleading with them to believe. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now he has spent chapters 1 through chapter 11. John has spent telling us all the many things that Christ did just so people would believe in him. The end of the chapter, chapters 20 and 21, tells us that so many things were not even recorded. If John had recorded them, he said there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain all the things that Jesus did while he was on this earth. But guess what? The vast majority of people did not believe in him. They did not believe in the message that Jesus said. They did not believe in, even though they saw the miracles happen, they saw the wonders happen, they did not believe in Jesus as being the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah that they had been waiting for all this time. And now, guess what? It's over. Time has come to an end. He's not going to mess with them anymore. You say, well, that doesn't sound like Jesus. Well, this is it. Verses 35 and 36 are it. Jesus' public ministry is over. From here to the cross, he'll be ministering to his loved ones, his believers, his disciples, those that are following him. Genesis 6, verse 3, when Noah was building the ark, when Noah was instructed to provide an escape for himself and his family, what did God say? He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. It tells us. You can listen and you can reject and you can listen and listen and listen and listen and listen. There will come a time when God will, like he did here in John chapter 12, when he's done. When is that? Don't know. But it does show us how dangerous it is to completely refuse to listen, to completely refuse to believe in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 37 says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. I said it for the past 2 weeks, one of the saddest verses for me in the Bible, that right there. They didn't believe. They were standing in the light of the world. They were standing in light of God's Son, Jesus Christ. They were standing in the light of truth, yet they would not open up their eyes. And then he starts telling us some words. He starts using language from Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah, or Esaias, the prophet Esaias, was a prophet who had the same type of message, and the same thing happened in Isaiah's day that happened in Jesus' day. People did not believe. And people did not believe the message for so long that time came to a close. When our Lord came to this earth, the matter of darkness was discussed. Now there's several kinds of darkness. One's a mental darkness. You know, in chapter 1, verse 5, we saw where the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You remember that? If we go to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, before we get into the rest of these 13 verses, we want to know that Satan does blind the hearts and the minds in the eyes of people. Satan does that. That's what he is good at. It's important to know that he's already blinded the mind of this world, of everybody in this world. There's already a mental darkness that Satan has placed upon people. What gets rid of that, what turns on the light, what gets rid of that darkness, that mental unbelief, that mental darkness, is belief. Is belief. Belief turns the light on. The message will make either the darkness continue or darkness be turned to light. The message in God's Word, the message in the Bible. Verse 38 says that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, the report there is what is heard, the message. Who hath believed what we've been saying? That's what prophet Isaiah said. That's what the prophet Isaiah said in his message. He gave them the message that God gave to him, and yet people were not listening. They were not listening to them. Who hath believed what we've been saying, God? The report is the message. The report is the Word of God. Now listen, the report is Logos. The report is this right here. What makes the report turn into a rhema? Well, let's keep reading. Lost my place. Who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Okay, what's the arm of the Lord? Well, let's think about the arm, first of all. Say here that my glasses are sitting right here on the pulpit, on the podium, and my mind tells me I don't want my glasses there, I want my glasses in my pocket. So my mind gives a message to my arm. And my arm starts moving. Picks up the glasses and puts the glasses in my pocket. My arm consisted, my arm allowed for two things to happen. For my will to be accomplished with my glasses, I don't want my glasses sitting here. They might fall and break. I want them in my pocket, okay? And it also showed the power that I have to make that happen. The arm does that. The brain sends the message, and the thing is done, the thing is accomplished, and it shows that our will is done, and it shows that we have the power to make it done. Well, the arm of the Lord is the same thing. Through the arm of the Lord, God's will is accomplished. Through the arm of the Lord, His power makes things happen. Do you see where I'm going with this? Let me tell you. What we should have a desire to do is to have the arm of the Lord revealed in our life. I want the arm of the Lord revealed in my life, the rest of my life. I'm 56. Now that might be the end of my life, might be 57. Could be 87, don't know. However much time is left, I want God's will to be done in my life, Linda, and I want His power in my life. I don't want to waste the next year. I don't want to waste the next 20 years, whatever that happens to be. I want His power in my life. I want to be effective for Him as a child of God. I don't want to waste everybody's time in Grace Walk. I want the messages to mean something. I want there to be an effect. I want something to happen in my life and in your life. The arm of the Lord is what I'm asking God to make happen. And Isaiah, prophet Isaiah says, who hath believed our message, our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Lord, I've been preaching and I look out and it's not affecting anybody. Nobody's believing it. I don't see your power and I don't see your will in the lives of anybody. That's what he's saying. In Jesus' ministry, very few people believed Him. In Jesus' ministry, very few people saw His will to be carried out in their life, which is believing in Him. They could not see His power in their life because they never believed. And then he continues. But before we go there, one more thing about the armor of the Lord. You remember when God had a desire to free His people from Egyptian slavery? Remember that in Exodus? One of the ways He said what He wanted done is this right here. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an stretched out arm. Now, I never noticed this before, but that makes perfectly good sense if you combine how, and we don't have time to go through them all, but you can go through the Bible and see how the arm of the Lord is revealed. And it always, without fail, indicates His will, what God wants done in any situation. In Moses' time, He wanted the people to be freed from Egypt and be out of the control of, in that slavery. He wanted them to hit the wilderness running and go to the land that He had given them. But He also was giving them the power to do it, His will and His power to make it happen. Well, what makes this happen is belief. Belief brings about the arm of the Lord, and the arm of the Lord brings about His will and His power in our life. See, this is good stuff. Oh, how we need His arm in our life. How we need His arm, which will bring us His will, put us in the center of His will, make us effective as a child of God, whatever it is that we're doing. In Mark chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, talking about Jesus, He could there do no mighty works, and He marveled because of their unbelief. Now, I've always looked at that and never really thought about the verse too much, but He could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. He couldn't do what God had given Him the power to do because they didn't believe. Boy, this belief thing is awfully, awfully important. And then it hit me like somebody would hit me upside the head. Unbelief stops the arm of the Lord in a person's life. If I don't trust God explicitly and exactly and 100% completely in what He says, even though I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and I don't doubt my salvation one bit, if I don't have 100% trust in Him, I can't realize the power of His power in my life. I don't realize the power of His potential in my life. I don't see His will being performed in my life because I'm not fully trusting or I'm not fully believing in Him. And unbelief stops that. Boy, that's downright convicting if you just want to be honest with it and look at your own life and say, am I fully trusting God? Am I truly believing in Him? Verse 40 continues, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, it's real easy for us to read this verse and think, well, that's not fair. And what we got to understand is, this doesn't say that God had a will that stopped them from believing. That's not what this means. God didn't say to these people, well, my son's going to be preaching and he's going to be giving them the message, but I'm going to stop them from believing. No, that's not what happened here. Let's look at this in its context. Jesus has presented to the world that He is the Messiah. He is their King. He will be the Savior of the world. And they have rejected Him. They have personally said no to Him. Well, because they have rejected Him and because they would not accept Him, it is time for Him not to accept them. They already started it. They already started the process with their unbelief. They already said no. That's why it's so dangerous for an unsaved person to hear the gospel over and over and over and over again and never make a move. never believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you just go on listening and listening and listening and never stop to act upon it and never stop to receive and accept it, there comes a time when you cannot receive and accept. We don't know when that is. The Bible says there He hath blinded their eyes. He hath hardened their hearts. What's actually done the blinding and the hardening? Well, not the Lord, but their unbelief's already made it happen. And what actually triggered it was the message. What actually triggers it is the Logos, the Word. Jesus knew this. He knew their hearts. That's why He said in several passages in the Gospels, He knew people believed Him. He knew they were following Him, but it didn't really matter to Him because He knew what was in their hearts. They weren't true followers. They were going to disappear off the scene in no time. They weren't going to be true followers of Him. And so here He says He's blinded their eyes just by giving the message. He's hardened their hearts that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Well, why does it say heal them? Well, sin's a disease. Often in the Word of God, it's talked about as a disease. And so we have the Logos. We have the message. And we have the responsibility as the church to give that message. Well, what's going to happen when we give the message? Well, they're going to stay in darkness, or the light's going to get turned on. And we can't affect either. What's going to happen is the person is either going to accept the Lord, if you're witnessing to him or her, or he's going to reject the Lord. Remember those verses which we hear often? For 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Listen to this. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient? Who knows what's going to happen for these things? And that's an awesome responsibility we have. We just give the message, and it's either going to be accepted or it's going to be rejected. So instead of us thinking that God predetermined that this person should not believe, God predetermined that He loved the whole world and sent His Son to die for the entire world. Black or white, big or small, smart or dumb. That's what He did. And He's predetermined to give that message to the world that salvation is available for all. And people are going to believe it or they're not going to believe it. And what they've got in their heart is going to be done, whatever it is that's in their heart is going to be done when the message is given, when the report has been given. And then if the report is rejected, if the report is said no to, then the arm of the Lord, that will of God and that power of God can either start in a person's life or the light will be kept off. And darkness will stay in that person's life. I wish we had time to go to Matthew 13. You might write down Matthew 13, 14, and 15 is actually a repetition of what we read in Isaiah. Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15 is a recap of Isaiah 6, 9 through 10. I know some of you always asking me, you know, where was that? So I'm going to try to go slower and make those places where they are. And hopefully you'll be blessed by that. Look in verse 41. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. So now we know what's been the problem all through John 1 through 11. We know what was wrong. Here, these people are standing in the presence of the light of the world, and they can't see. Christ presented the message to them. He presented his birth, the message of his light, the message of salvation, the message of his death that was about to happen, and they just couldn't see it. They weren't going to believe it, no matter what he did, no matter what kind of outstanding miracles of bringing a man who had been dead for 4 days, back alive. No matter how that 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people were fed from two fish and five loaves. No matter what kind of miraculous thing that they saw, they're not going to believe it. And he knew that. And that's what's happened. But their unbelief has stopped everything in their life. All of what we think, you know, as a child, we sing that song. What is it? God can do anything. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. You know how he does it? He does it through our belief. You say, well, no, it's strong enough. He'll do it anyway in spite of... No, he works through belief. If I want God's will to be done in my life, if I want the power of Christ to be seen in my life, if I want my life to be some life where people look at my life and they see how I talk and how I act and they say, oh, well, that's... that I can see the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of Dwayne Williams. If that's going to happen, if that's going to happen, then I need the arm of the Lord to be revealed in my life. I need to believe and fully trust and accept Him. I need to be the kind of person, the kind of child of God, the kind of church member, if you will, the kind of Christian that the Holy Spirit approves of blessing and showing Himself through my life. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. Otherwise, I just need to take my tie off, Linda, and go get in my truck and go home, because I'm wasting my time and yours. These people had an unbelief that stopped the power of God working in their lives. I don't want to do that. It's so easy for us, you know, we're from generations that are used to a schedule, aren't we? We're used to going to church 2, 3, 4 times a week. We're used to all this. And that's good. But we can become so used to the rut, so used to the schedule, so used to what we do that we lose the whole wonder and sense of it. The whole miraculous power of even having a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The last 8 verses of this chapter close, and they give us some reason why so many people rejected him. Look in verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. You remember the man who was healed at Bethesda? He was so glad he was healed. When he stepped into those waters, he was healed. When our Lord healed him, although he had been stepping into the waters, and he went and told people, and they excommunicated him. They got rid of him out of the synagogue and out of the community. And there's other people like the same kind of people. Among the chief rulers, many believed on him, but they wouldn't confess him because they were fearful about what was going to happen. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, as verse 43 says. Put this down in your notes. Revelation 21, 7 through 8. Revelation 21, 7 through 8 lists the kinds of people that are going to go to hell, to put it bluntly. And at the head of the list, what's it say? The fearful. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, wow. And it's before all the rest that seems so bad. And the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The very first one is the fearful. Wow. Wow. And here this verse tells us that there were some who really believed in the Lord, but they wouldn't confess Him because they were fearful of what other people were going to say. Ah, what a condemnation that is. They loved the praise of men more than they loved the praise of God. And in verse 44, I've got to wind this down, Jesus said, He cried and said, He that believeth on me, now mind you, He's not with the public right now. He's with his disciples, okay? He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. He's saying to his disciples, his followers, whoever was there, I'm here so people can get out of darkness. I'm here so people will believe. I'm here so people will see God above when they see me. In verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now he'll come back the second time to judge the world, but the first time he came was to save the world. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. If you were here Wednesday night, you will remember Brother Chris talking from Matthew 12 about the men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment against this generation because they don't believe. And yet the men of Nineveh believed. And then he also talked about the queen of the south will judge that this generation. Jesus said this, the queen of the south will judge this generation. She believed. She sat out on a journey of 1 to 2 or 3 months or whatever and took all these riches. She understood the truth and she believed the truth. But these people listening to Jesus would not do that. And she will stand in judgment. She will judge this generation like the men of Nineveh because they believed, but this generation will not believe. And verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment. What should I say and what I should speak? And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. I apologize for reading so fast. We've been in John 12 for how many, 4 or 5 weeks now. I really wanted to get it done, you know. I have enjoyed it. But if you take anything away from this lesson, I want you to take this right here. Two things. Who hath believed our report? What's the report? It's the Word of God. It's the message. It's the Logos. Who hath believed our report? Who's listening? Who's believing what we're saying? Jesus said, who is believing my message? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Where's the effects of the message? Where's the power of the message? Where's the will of God being carried out in our lives? You put those two together. And back to my example that I started with, my 5 o'clock blessing, which is my rhema. That's the Lord speaking to me. That's the Lord moving me. And I don't mind telling you, this morning it was with tears. Not bad tears, but great tears. It was good tears. He blessed me in such a way that it brought me to tears. That's rhema. That's the Holy Spirit uttering to me. And he utters to you. He speaks to you. He brings clear things into your head and your heart that are personal to you only. That's rhema. But it only comes when we're in the Logos. Both of them are words, but one is personal. One is a manifestation of the understanding that the Holy Spirit brings you. The other is the Word of God. And you got to have, you're not going to get this unless you're in this. And so my whole thing was about the 5 o'clock blessing only comes to me on Sunday morning because I've been in the Word Monday through Saturday. And when I'm not in the Word like I should be on Monday through Saturday, then it's a much drier 5 o'clock on Sunday morning. God needs my Monday through Saturday, Stacy. He needs me to be ready to receive what's coming on Sunday. He needs that preparation in my life. And it comes through the message. It comes through the report. Who hath believed our report? Their report comes before the arm of the Lord. Does that make any sense? The Logos time brings the Rhema time. Just like the report brings the arm of the Lord. I said this to a few people already, you know, this morning. One of them's to my wife. That's confusing. Those words are confusing because we don't think in terms of Logos and Rhema and our report and our arm, the arm of the Lord. But that's what it is. Logos time brings Rhema time. Time in the Word brings Holy Spirit understanding. And our report, our message, the Word of God, when applied to a person's life, brings the arm of the Lord. The control, the will of God being affected in a person's life, the power of God in a person's life. Would you pray with me?